Hello, and welcome to the latest Live Free and Ham podcast episode. If you're into portable ops or parks on the air, then this is a show you're not going to want to miss. Welcome to the Live Free and Ham podcast. It's our bi-weekly show. It delves into everything about ham radio in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. We're thrilled to have you here, whether you're a first-time listener or a returning one. We greatly appreciate your support. It's been an awesome ride so far, and we've been seeing a lot of new subscribers, so keep it coming. But please, as always, feel free to leave a review on iTunes or your podcast platform of choice, as we always appreciate the feedback, and it's always there to help our show. As well as if you want to help our show financially, we got a Patreon or a Buy Me Beer or Coffee link. You can head over to our website to click on that and send us a few bucks if you so are inclined. And as always, you can always visit our website at livefreeandham.com to catch up on any previous episodes, check out the latest merch, follow us on social media, and just see what's going on. So with that, from all our hosts, we thank you for your continued support, and thanks for subscribing to our show. All right, so let's dive into our show today. My name is Eric, and my call sign is N1JUR, and I'm always happy to have my two cohorts with me. Let me introduce them.
Yep, my name is Ryan, call sign W1SNA.
And I'm Todd, W1STJ.
All right, well, hey. So with always, before we kind of dive into our show kind of material here and what we're going to talk about, how's everybody's ham week been? I mean, you have anything interesting going on? I'm sure something's definitely been going on. Anything to share that's worth sharing with the audience?
Yeah, I'd had a great week of hunting poda. So actually, right before we were recording, I was sitting down writing out QSL cards and realized I need to go to the post office, get more stamps and mail those out. But just get everything recorded and logged into the log there so that I can just keep track of all the hunting.
Very cool. What'd you talk?
Yeah, I was down in Florida, was it last week? And the week before, and I actually activated two parks down there, one on 15 meters and the other one on 20. Both were quite difficult. Bands weren't cooperating. But I did get my Flex radio, and that has been really cool because I've been able to hunt POTA remotely. So that's been pretty cool. And just for the record, while Eric was running our meeting, doing his presentation on field day, I get 11 FT8 contacts during your presentation?
Yeah, I'm going to have to scold you for that because, in essence, I would have expected a whole lot more out of you. You know, you should have been focused on at least one of the two things, whether it's my presentation or a Flex.
Well, that's good multitasking.
Yeah, I was right multitasking. That's what it was.
Roger that. It explains I should frame that out. Before I even started my presentation, Todd leaned over to me and was like, what's the Wi-Fi password? And I was like, what do you need that for? I'm super excited for you, man. I am dreaming of Flex as I consider, barking down that road down the, foreseeable future. But for now, my radio is currently out on loan to another ham, and he's enjoying it and learning more on it. But for me, it's kind of been a very busy couple of weeks. I've been, chairperson of the field day committee for our field day in general for our club. And as always, it's a great opportunity. Our club does a great job every year. A bunch of guys just get in there and we do field day, and we really try to reach out in our communities and be active and show them really what ham radio is all about. So that's kind of been in full force for me. One of my, shining moments, since obviously the podcast is launched and it's been out there for a bit, we've been generating some traction. But from that, I don't know what kind of magically has happened, but I've become a little bit of YouTube famous. I got an email from Ergo Lord Callum, if those know him. He's the big DX commander guy. He sent me an email, said, hey, I noticed on your website there's a hunt for the YouTubers. And now, this is a little pet project I kind of did real quick, short and simple. I wanted to track all the YouTubers that are ham radio or amateur radio focused. in the niche, and I created a hit list. And so as I work them and I get confirmation on QRZ or whatever, I'll log them on my website. And so I've been doing this for probably, you know, about a year or so since I've had the site up. And so I get this email from Lord Cowan going, hey, I'm a super static, you know, I'm on the top of your list. You know, we haven't worked each other, but I'm looking forward to it. And so, you know, him and I kind of been passing emails back and forth. I'm probably not going to get a free DX commander out of that. So, you know, don't worry about that. But in essence, you know, hey, it's good to make a contact with these guys. You never know what will happen in the future. And, you know, I had another, just shortly after him, I had another ham, K4 or K5 YVY. He's a big of the Ham Radio Clubhouse YouTube fame. So if you heard of him, he also was quite happy to work me. And I had him on an FTA contact, and it's been fun, you know, so I'm seeing some traction from that. So I'm pretty excited, you know, especially from Lord Callum. I mean, gosh, a Lord from England, all the better. So
does he go by a proper Lord? I mean, is it like, is that a title within his official name?
I don't know, but his email address is Lord Callum. So I'll give it to him at this point. I don't know. I don't know if he's been dubbed by the Queen, but you know, hey, you never know.
Now it's the King.
Yeah. Oh, true. Right. Yes. Right. Yes. So, you
this
know,
is all coming from the west side of the Atlantic here.
Yes, Roger. So if anything, if Callum, you are listening and you have subscribed to our podcast, we'd love to have you on maybe sometime. You know, we can coordinate that. You know, we could always you know, love to hear your stories and get to know more. So, you know, that's a little you know, plug there for that. You know, so that's been fun, you know, so I've been seeing some of this stuff and we've been seeing some great traction on our website. So keep it coming as always. I'm pretty excited to see that. And I'm sure everybody shares the same sentiment here as well. So, I would say, the only thing just kind of catching people up, we've got a bunch of cool stuff lined up, for the next couple of episodes. So we've got a couple of new interviews with a couple of local people in the New England area that we're kind of, working out the details on. So keep, you know, your subscriptions active and updated, and you know, stay tuned. You know, we're always interested in trying to reach out to our you know, New England folks that are out there doing ham radio and see what they're, you know, doing, learn more, and, you know, grow this podcast as well. I mean, that's kind of what our mission is a little bit and what we want to do. All right, so without dragging this any longer, I know you're anticipating and waiting to have us talk about POTA, because, you know, heck, POTA's just life, you know, it, as we all, if we're big Ted Lasso fans, soccer's life, well, POTA's life for us. I mean, it's the way it goes. So we're going to kind of dive into, you know, what we're deeming as nuts and bolts, you know, tips and tricks, you know, our setups, and, you know, we're going to share what we do, how we do it, why we do it, you know, what's that evolution kind of looked like. Without further ado, so let's kind of get into it a little bit. So, I know Ryan and Todd, I mean, obviously Todd, you've done a lot of, you know, POTA, and Ryan's just starting to really get into it more on the hunting side, but eventually we'll get him outdoors and get him going. He's got a great 705 there that's just doing nothing right now, but eventually we'll get outside, I'm sure. So, you know, kind of let's start somewhere. So when we're doing POTA, I mean, we obviously have our own setups and what we do to that works for us. But what kind is your setup? And we'll start with Todd, since, you know, he's kind of, you know, a little bit newer to this process, but he's been doing it, and he's been activating pretty much in more, you know, states than I have, you know, in general in my year and a half, 2 years that I've been doing it myself. So kind of what's your setup look like, Todd? You know, what stuff that you describe kind of in just a nutshell, what your setup kind of looks like? And then, you know, what have you learned in that process, you know, along the way?
Well, let's start with my radio that I do POTA with is my Yaesu 891. And my antenna that I've used 99.9% of the time is the Buddy Pole. I've got those, or is it the Buddy Pole? No, Buddy Stick Pro or Buddy Pro?
Yeah. Buddy Stick Pro, right?
Yeah. So I've got that down pretty pat. I can pretty much get set up probably within 10 minutes. I have a battery. I carry with me the radio, the battery, and the antenna, and an iPad, and that's basically it. And I can get that up and down in probably 10 minutes and on the air, pretty well if the antenna is behaving and is tuned. Sometimes it doesn't like to be tuned exactly there it was the last time I plugged it in. But yeah, that's basically it. And you know, I've been having to travel a little bit with work, so I have been going to places like Florida, Mississippi a lot, and I've been activating down there. And I just store everything in a small backpack and go through TSA, and that's it. When I'm home and I'm local, I have my radio in a kind of like the Pelican case, but it's the Harbor Freight version. And I just leave all that stuff at the back of my Jeep. And when I want to activate, I just go in the back, open everything up, plug it in, and there you go. I think in the beginning, it took me a little bit longer. I had to do it a few times to kind of work out the which way I was going to do it, what I was going to do first. But now I got it down pretty good where I've actually activated on my lunch break. I have an hour so I can get there, get set up, and be packed up and ready to go within an hour and activate the park. So it's all good.
Awesome. Now, in terms of your setups, you got a couple of different things, obviously, both for travel and just, you know, around the area use. Do you find that you have to spend a lot of time, you know, making sure you've got, like, is it just kind of like a forklift from one to the other, or do you have to, like, you know, do a little prep in terms of making sure you got connectors and, you know, charge batteries and that type of stuff?
So I always keep my battery charged. So when I'm done doing an activation, I just plug it in, and once it's charged, I throw it back in the bag. And then I have little pouches, those little Ziploc pouches I got at Home Depot, or you see like pencil cases or whatever. So I have a couple of them. One has connectors and parts that I might need, and everything else is basically in there. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Ryan told me.
Yeah, so I got a couple of those that puts the connectors, and then I've got my my antenna bag, and there I have some of the other things. Like in that antenna bag, I throw in my my rig tuner checker, and then I do what else? I have a weight that I can hold the antenna. I can clip the antenna in case it's windy, keep it a little bit more stable, and that's basically it. So, like if you came over and said, "Let's go do POTA," literally, I'm grabbing a bag and walking out the door if it's not already in my car.
Okay, cool. And so,
and that's really cool, Todd. Just curious. So, you had mentioned traveling with your setup. Have you had any issues or friction going through TSA?
Do we have enough time in the podcast to go?
Be a whole, that we might have to do a whole week's worth. Yeah, I've had all kinds of problems. So Manchester, New Hampshire, small little airport. Those aren't from New England who are listening. Best airport to go through TSA. They got the state of the art. You don't have to unpack anything. You just walk through and it knows, right? You don't have to take your laptop, computers out. You just shove your bag through. I always tell the guys, hey, I've got a ham radio and a battery in there. I haven't gone through once where I've gone just through and they've let me through. It's always something. Either the battery, one time it was the little throw weight, another time it was the radio, one time it was my iPad. And then the other TSAs are, it's all different. You got to take everything out and explain to them. So one of the suggestions that I have is if you go on the TSA website, especially for the battery, I pull up, I have that saved on my phone, and it tells them what's legal and what's not. And then when they pull the battery, I can show them like a screenshot of their website. And I say, this is on your website. And they're like, sure. Okay, great. Thanks. And then they let me go through.
Yeah.
But it's not consistent. Anyway, there's not one airport I've been to that it's been consistent, but I've never had a problem not getting through. So that's mm-hmm. been pretty positive. And I think if you're straight up with them and you tell them, say, hey, I have a ham radio in my bag. I have a little sling bag. I'm looking to upgrade it because the sling bag fits everything except my antenna. So I want to get a little bit bigger bag so I can put that antenna bag in there too. And then when I go to TSA, I just rip it open and throw everything out, and then I can just put it all back in. So there's nothing else in that bag except my, my iPad and the, POTA gear.
Very cool.
Okay. So your little antenna bag that you have is basically just a buddy pole bag that kind of comes with the complete antenna, right? Is that what you have that you're carrying that antenna with, or are you separate?
Nope, that's it. It's a little zippered kind of pouch bag. It holds the tripod. It holds the antenna, the coil, And then it's got, I have in there, I have like the band chart, and I also have the instructions for what, how far the counterpoise goes out and how many notches down on the coil to get the different bands for reference. And then, like I said, there's enough room in there to throw the antenna, what do you call it, that rig, what do we call that thing?
Rig expert stick.
That goes in there too. And then I have a couple little connectors and stuff that I throw in there as well.
Now, what bag are you using in general? Like you said, you just have like a kind of over shoulder bag. Is it like just like a backpack bag or something special, like a
5'11"? It's a 5'11". I forget what they call it, but it's like a sling backpack. So it's only, and it's great, except I can't fit the antenna bag in it. So I've been looking. The next one up is a backpack version. And I think if I buy it, I think it's going to be the right size to fit everything in perfectly. If not, I could always probably return it and get the two sizes up. But I think the one size will work. And the bag's heavy. I'm not going to joke. I mean, it's like, it weighs a lot, but you know,
891 is pretty
heavy. Yeah. And the battery too adds to it. So, but you know, I just throw it on, you know, I walk down and like I said, when I'm traveling, so when I'm doing pole dive with the buddy stick, you have to have, it's a raised aerial, counterpoise. So it's only one. So in New England and I'm driving, I just have one of those, fence posts, those that you get at Home Depot for a couple of bucks. It's got a metal, piece in the bottom, it sticks in the ground, it's got little notches, and the counterpoise is on like a spiral, like a little hook thing, and I just hook it on there. When I'm traveling, I use my my carry-on bag, and I know, it looks kind of silly. If you guys go on my website, you will see some posts of my carry-on bag sitting out in the middle of the field. But
as long as you're not hanging your laundry from it, that's fine.
The hand, it works because the handle, you know, it goes up and down, and I take a carabiner and I just clip it on there, and you can move it in and out, and you don't have to be like, you can be anywhere. So wherever I sit, if there's not a tree or a thing, I just can put the bag out there, and it works. So because I was like, I can't bring this huge spike on the plane with me, so. I gotta improvise. So it works. So it's, I've had pretty good luck of it. And I've had a couple of, I don't know how many I've done, probably like maybe close to 10, you know, via airplane, activations. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had any issues really.
That was pretty cool. Todd, what size battery are you running?
The BioNFed, what is it? 100
BioNO,
BioNO. Yeah. The big one.
Okay.
I don't.
One you're referring to? Like the 15 amp hour or the 20?
The 50.
The 50 or the 15?
I think it's the 50. It's the big one. It's the one that you showed me, Eric, the other day. It's like that size. It's bigger.
Okay. Yeah, so that's probably like the 20. Yeah. 15 or 20. 20. Amp. Yeah. I don't, anything bigger than that, I think will break the TSA. That explains why.
I think it's pretty much maxed out because it's like a brick and it weighs a lot. So I was thinking of maybe getting a smaller one because like I said, when I'm doing these activations, I don't have much time. When I'm traveling, I'm only there for a day. So it's like, I do my thing and I have a few hours to find a park, set up and activate. So I don't know if I need that big of a battery. So I might invest in a smaller one and see how it is. But, you know, on the other hand, I don't want to be out there. Like, I did that once where I forgot to charge the battery, and I was, like, at 12, and the thing died on me. I'm like, what? And I was in a pileup.
We'll get into those in a bit, you know, the things that we don't want to talk about, but we should share. Cool. So just one more thing. So what are you using for logging?
I use hammers in the field. I use it on my iPad. One of the things I do need to buy is when my next iPad comes in, I'm going to get the cellular part. So what I do now is I run it off a hotspot off my phone, but it doesn't always, it works fine. It just doesn't always pull up the information the who they are and where they're at. So what I do is afterwards, when I get into a Wi-Fi spot, I normally just go down the log and I'll hit, you know, on the little button to, you know, update it. But, you know, one of them I did 156, so that's a lot of scrolling down, update. So, but, you know, it's it. The hammers is a great mobile a mobile logging system. I mean, I'd highly recommend it. It's so easy. And, you know, the one thing I would say that I don't like about Hammers, or I wish they could improve on, is it's not like cloud-based. So if you have it on your phone, it's not going to be on your iPad. If you have it on...
So the developers, if they're listening, you know, we'd like a direct connection to the POTA website. So after we've completed our activation, we can just press send to POTA.app.
Yeah, that would be even, that would be really good. But yeah, I mean, but that's it. I mean, it works really well. And, you know, I highly recommend it. And that's basically what I use. And it's worked pretty well.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll dive into a little bit of the, you know, what we've learned lessons and a few other things down the log here. But let's kind of shift here a little bit and dive into Ryan's setup. And then I kind of will pull up the rear here. But so, Ryan, obviously, you've been doing some major not so much activations, but more hunting in general. But I know you've been planning diligently, and you are the master planner when it comes to, you know, putting the ultimate setups together. I mean, I applaud you in terms of your shack setup, your antennas, the whole nine yards. So, you know, I'm in for some very interesting, you know, conversation to see how how your plans are coming with what you got set up now and kind of where you're going with. So go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no. So the hunting's been fun, you know, from the home shack and spinning the beam and, you know, getting all those QSOs there. But, you know, I'm taking the approach, so two different setups for POTA, and I think depending on, the big question is, what parks would I be activating at? So most of the parks that I would use my larger setup, which would be a 7300 in a Go Box and my Crank IR, Step IR antenna, would be parks where I could drive up and operate from the back of my car.
Okay.
So this Go Box has 7300, has a tuner. It's all bolted in there, so you can just grab the handle, throw it in the back of the, lately place it in the back of the car, and connect it to the antenna, and you're right there in the parking lot, and you can activate. Works great. You know, the antenna I'm very happy with. It takes probably not as fast as Todd. You know, it'd take me 20 or 30 minutes to set everything up. But, you know, I get 400 watts out of it, and I'm familiar with the radio, and it's, you know, relatively.
And you got a full waterfall, too. So, like, you've got the benefits of seeing the whole entire spectrum of whatever band you're on.
But then another side of POTA / SOTA that I've been interested in is a much more of a backpack setup. So I have a 705 with a Buddy Stick Pro and a 4 amp hour LiPo battery that will power the tuner, the 705, get the full 10 watts out of it. And then you can go hiking up, you know, whatever mountain in the area here and do a SOTA POTA. I think is that's my other setup. I've not done a SOTA yet. It's just a matter of, you know, clearing out the schedule and making some time for it.
Right. Now, what are you going to use? Use paper logging in that sense? Or are you going to try to go to electronic, or what's your thought on that?
So I do have an iPad, and most likely will be using a Hammers. So I think that's the cleanest setup there.
You know, something good with Hammers too is you don't have to be connected online. So as long as you've got power to your iPad or your phone, it should work. So Ryan, one thing, you know, I'm envious of that, that Go Box
705.
Yeah, the 705, but also like
the Go Box.
Yeah. Because you know, we're in the process of creating one for myself. Since I got the Flex Radio, my DX10 is going to be hopefully my local POTA radio, which is a little extreme. But one of the things that I found that the 891 is a great POTA radio, especially mobile, portable, you want to travel. And I have noticed, and I'm so new at doing this, that I actually find it less noisy because I'm out in the woods or in a park and there's nothing around me. So that's why the 891 is really nice. I don't like the way the menu is. It takes a lot to like pull out some noise and stuff. So I'm excited for like the DX10 that when I do get that static or I got a weak station coming in, I'm hoping that it's going to be, I'm going to be able to quickly, you know, be able to filter out the noise and bring the signal up stronger so I can hear them better. But the hunting for me, it's always fun, but it's also after you do activations, it's kind of, it irritates me because when you're the activator or you're activating the park, everyone's hunting you. So you get the pick and they're just coming in and everyone's talking to you. When you're the hunter, you could sit for 20 minutes trying to work get a guy on a pile up. And you're like, I got to get this guy. And then other times, you know, if you catch, what I do is if you catch a new station coming on, if you're looking on the POTA app and you set it for like new stations, as soon as that station pops up, you go to it and they're probably calling CQ so you can get them right in the beginning. But with me out in the parks, it seems a lot more quieter than it is in my shack. And I know, Ryan, your shack is probably super quiet. So that's probably just my fault with the shack. But I just find it awesome. I would much rather activate out in the field than in the or not active, but like do ham radio out in the field than at the shack, to be honest with you.
And, you know, one thing I've been putting some effort into lately is organizing it so that when I do pack everything in the car, I'm not forgetting something at home. So having the radio tuner and everything bolted in the go box, you know, it's there. You don't need to, you know, you're not going to be forgetting anything. And then I have a single large Tupperware container, which has, you know, coax and antenna tuner, the Rig Expert stick, all the little connectors, tent stakes, rope, everything that you could possibly think of. It's just all in that Tupperware box. And all I have to do is just grab it, put it in the back of the car, go.
Yeah, it's good. Definitely, a box of boxes in terms of, or box of things in terms of, you know, we always forget, one or two of those, you know, L-shaped connectors, or guess what? Your connector all of a sudden disintegrates while you're out in the field. It's like, oh crap, I don't have another one. What do I do? You know, type thing. So yeah, that sounds like a great, good way to recover, you know, the activation and still be able to, get set up and activate.
Yeah.
I would say,
you know, one of the things that I learned is, things that you need to like take out of your shack to bring POTA, you're almost better off getting a second one for your POTA box, right? Or your POTA activation. That way you're not unplugging stuff, putting stuff in, going back and forth. For me, it was just so much easier just to have separate stuff. This is my POTA stuff. This is the stuff I'm going out with. It's in like little pouches, which is in the bag or in the box or in wherever I'm doing. And then it's just there. And like you said, I know I'm trying to refine it even more because I'd like to get everything in the 891 to be in one backpack organized in these little pouches. And then that way, when it's like POTA time, grab it, go.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've kind of been talking around POTA, but you sparked my interest a little bit on the soda side. So you didn't talk about what you were thinking for soda antennas. Were you thinking lightweight portable like K6ARK style antennas or something a little bit more robust? Or have you kind of fleshed that out a little bit on your setup there for your POTA, for your soda side?
So two different setups. One, I've not built it yet. I did get the kit from ARK.
Okay.
And I was going to do a NFED half wave, probably cut it for 20 because that tends to be the most popular. It's kind of a good working band there. And then use the Buddy Stick Pro.
Okay.
So depending on where I am and what the terrain looks like, use one of those two.
What I would throw to you maybe is something you might want to consider because obviously the band conditions, as we all are aware of, have been so wildly crazy mood swings. Maybe turning that K6ARK antenna maybe in a linked kind of configuration dipole so you have the capabilities to like run 15 or 17 maybe, and then that way if you're up on that mountainside you don't feel like the activation's just been blown altogether because you only had like maybe one band or whatever. But yeah, that might be an addition to the design.
Yeah, so I have three of his little kits, so one I'll do a range of them.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah, just
pull up, they're lightweight and small.
Yeah. So your what's the 705 put out for wattage total? Is it 5 or 10?
So if you're just using the internal battery, it's 5 watts. But if you have an external 13.8 volt battery, it'll do 10 watts.
Oh, okay. So that's not too bad. I mean, if you get good conditions. Yeah,
the 4 amp hour battery I have for it fits in the – so another club member had recommended using a telephoto camera zoom lens case.
Okay.
So it's a padded case. It's a tube size, you know, about 12 inches long. 705 fits in there. Tuner fits in there. And the little 4 amp hour BioNO battery.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits great.
Okay.
So there was just that and then the antenna bag.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Soda is going to be one of those interesting things. And I'm going to sit back and see how yours kind of flushes out because I'll talk a little bit about my soda thoughts a little bit. I've kind of just started down that road and I'll maybe let the cat out of the bag in a bit. But so in terms of your, were you thinking, any other additional backpack style stuff for the soda side? I mean, obviously your POTA setup seems to be pretty rock solid. It's, pretty much pull up, set up, plug in, go. Before we kind of dive into the soda stuff, were you only going to be running that step IR antenna? Were you thinking some other additional antennas for that mix or,
If the park allows me to pull up and operate out of the car, most likely I'll just use the crank IR just because I can get a almost perfect one-on-one match. It's great antenna. It gives me 6 meters through 80.
Okay.
And, I'm familiar with it. So.
And it just works pretty
good. But for the soda, that's all, as lightweight as possible.
Right. Yeah. Now, were you thinking iPad in that sense, or are you just going to stick to your phone or paper logging?
Probably the phone.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I find a lot of guys who do soda tend to just use their phone to do it. Now, all of this stuff, and we never kind of phrased what bands, but we're all doing sideband here. I mean, none of us are CW guys by any stretch, unless you've got a surprise to tell us, Ryan. Nope. Okay.
Not yet.
That's farther on down the line for me for sure. Yeah. Okay, cool. So it sounds like it's a good setup. You got a question?
I was just going to say, when you're familiar with your gear and you've set up your antenna numerous times and you've gone through it, it gets easier. I think the first time I activated without you, Eric, I think I was down in Connecticut, right? And I opened up the antenna bag. I'm like, oh, what? I did this once, but I wasn't used to it. And I was calling you like, how do I do this? What do I do that? But like I said, for me, I'm like a hands-on guy. I have to actually do, you can tell me to do it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. And then I don't get it. But once I do it, so I'm really comfortable right now, with my antenna, with my setup. And, like I said, I like to be able to see if I can get a part. Like if I think, I got an hour, hour and a half, I could probably get one in there. if I drive by one, or I'm always scoping out where I'm going to be located and how many parks are around me. And then, the other part is when you're activating parks, is doing a little bit of research prior to getting to the park, trying to kind of figure out where you're going to go, what it's like, where it's at, what do they have? Is this a place that has a picnic table, or you have to bring your own table, or are you going to work out of the back of your car or inside your car? I mean, I did a activation in Central New Hampshire. It only had two activations, and it was on this dirt road, and there was literally a spot for one person to park their car. And then it was there's the trail into the forest. It wasn't really, it was a state forest or something. So that one was a weird one because it was basically there was the road and the road turned into the hiking trail, and it was in the middle of the woods. And I'm like, this is it. And, I looked on the thing, but I had to do some research to figure out how am I going to get into this place and is it going to be feasible on my way back to do on my lunch break. So I was able to get that one done. So, yeah, it's
And Todd, you bring up interesting point there with dealing with the parks and the park rangers. I know we have a club member who was activating, I think, this past weekend. And at the end of his activation, one of the rangers challenged him and said, you need to buy a use permit.
Yeah.
Where you had to pay for a whole day pass. And, it's also a matter of educating the park rangers on what they're doing. Some of them I know are very specific. You can't mount or, put any stakes or anything in the ground. And other ones are that's fine. It's just leave no trace when you leave.
Right? So I'm glad you brought that up because my last activation in Florida, the park ranger knew exactly when they said, what are you here for? I'm like, I'm going to do some ham radio. And the guy's like, they knew exactly where I'm supposed to go. You want to go here if you need that. They said, the one thing, please don't mount anything into the trees. That was their rule. And I explained to them I had the Buddy Stick Pro. And I said, nope, everything is non. I'm not touching any trees or anything. Other places, when I tell them what I'm doing, they they've never known it before. They're very interested. They ask questions. They'll come and hang out and watch, and I offer them to do it. I also carry a little pamphlet about what POTA is and pass those things out all the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's some of them are very knowledgeable. Some of them don't have a clue, but then they think it's pretty cool. And I think, and I could see how, like, if they didn't know the difference, I think it's educating them and maybe even showing them some documentation. I showed one of them the website and I said, look, you've got like all these activations. Like, oh, people have been coming here forever. No, like, really?
Time.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. So I think we can kind of, that would actually probably be a really good episode to kind of get into the nuts and bolts in terms of how do you deal with a park that you've never been to, or, you know, more of a official state park, and what the best tips and area things to consider. Because I've got my own kind of arsenal of stuff that I probably won't take time to dive into, but I think we should definitely, you know, save that for some future episode to talk a little bit around, because we've all had different experiences and can definitely share some of our good and bad, you know, situations. So yeah, I guess from my setup, I kind of do two things. And so obviously running a YouTube channel, I try to do a lot of the recordings of my YouTube. So my bag kind of includes some of that stuff, but I'm not going to talk about that here. I've evolved a bit. I'm just like Todd, you know, I've got an 891, a 15 amp hour and a 20 amp hour BioNO battery, the Rig Expert stick 230. I run a little different antenna than Todd does. I have two of them, but my really go-to antenna is always the Wolf River Coil. But the Wolf River Coil has got a unique setup for me that has been really successful. I use it in a center-loaded configuration. So if those that don't know what that means, basically you're getting two 24-inch, you know, aluminum rod extensions that you're raising the coil from the base of the, you know, the tripod up to the center. So in essence, it's acting like a full, you know, half-wave dipole. I found that antenna has been rock solid in bad conditions, in great good conditions. And as long as I don't have more than a 5 mile an hour wind load, you know, that thing will stay up for the duration of the activation and even longer. However, you know, if it's a good breeze, that thing is just, you know, a big giant, you know, paperweight, and it'll come crashing down, if I don't anchor it well. And so, we all talked a little bit about what we anchor, you know, our antennas with. I had a buddy friend that we all are good friends with, KF4TPY. He had introduced me and threw a few my way, because he's got a Wolf River Coil of basically their tent stakes, but they're the screw-in style tent stakes. So, and they're about 6 to 8 inches long, and all you do is just drive it in the ground, and then from the center, you know, support of the Wolf River Coil, you just basically tie that into it, and the thing stays pretty well, you know, anchored, and everything's, you know, or they say is Bob's your uncle type thing, and everything works well. So, that's kind of my setup. I run an iPad with the cells, you know, set up with hammers. That works phenomenally well. You know, it's a benefit. I did a video on my YouTube channel a while back on a quick short on how to, you know, upload the logs when you're out in the field, right, to POTA and to Dropbox and stuff like that. So, you can easily process them quickly. But, you know, from a setup perspective, bag wise, I kind of evolved. I started with an Oakley bag, and Oakley has a Odyssey style backpack that kind of unzips and spreads open. It has a bunch of pockets in it and a bunch of Molly straps, and my 891 fit in there. The battery fit in there, and everything was great, and including the iPad. The problem was, is that it was still small and agile, and as I started to add more equipment and grow and whatnot, that I think it got, you know, it outgrew its, you know, function. So I upgraded to a bag from, oh man, I can't remember the manufacturer. I'll post a link in the description of the show notes. But that bag, and Todd's seen it, and I think Ryan, you as well, that thing is rock solid. It's got multiple compartments. It's kind of like a camera bag style, or videographers, you know, vlogger type camera style bag. So it's got a lot of compartments and a lot of dividers and stuff, which was a big plus for me. So, and anything from that original Oakley bag, I moved into that, plus all my camera gear and everything else I used to, you know, do the channel for. And that thing is wonderful to carry around. I mean, it's heavy. I mean, from a standpoint of where you guys are doing, you know, your go boxes, I'm pretty much putting a go box on my back with straps. So I don't know if that's, you know, good or bad, but, you know, I haven't had to hike out, you know, with it, and I would never take it soda wise.
During our last club POTA event, I checked that bag out. It was very nice.
Yeah, it's a very nice bag. I can't, like Todd says, I can't take my antenna with it, but I've got it in a camera padded tripod bag, and the Woofer Recoil fits perfectly fine in there with all the ground radials and the coax and stuff. But I still carry two things, but in essence, that's just two things I grab and throw in my truck and take with me. And similar like how Todd does, you know, his far distant activations, a lot of my driving time is within the New England area for my, you know, business and stuff. So if I find a time or I find an opportunity to activate, I'll go ahead and activate, you know, a park that's kind of close by when I pull up on POTA app. But yeah. I think so, just in terms of timing here and whatnot, and we should definitely spend more time on kind of our, what would we, what's kind of the evolution of, you know, our bags and stuff. But what I wanted to kind of dive into a little bit, in terms of when you started out and building your POTA setup, were you more homebrew or were you just like, hey, whatever, what can I do off the shelf? And you know, where can I find, you know, kind of a commercial style antenna? What was kind of your thought process around that? Did you want to get up and running activation wise quickly, or were you thinking more methodically about, you know, building that?
Well, for me, I just wanted to get up and get out there. So I did some research, and I know that the Wolf River Coil was one on my list, but then so was the Buddy Pole. And the reason I went with the Buddy Pole was because, one, it got a lot of good reviews, but also it was more compact, and I knew I wanted something that was more lightweight that would work, and not just having like an EdFed wire. So that's why I went with that. But you know, Eric and I have we've activated together. We've had both antennas up and running, and I think they both do phenomenal. I mean, that one park we were doing, Eric, and you were doing like 20 meters, and then someone had said, hey, 10's open, and I switched over to 10, and you know, they were coming in like nonstop. So I mean, I think for me, I just wanted to get out there, but I think it's kind of like a shack development. I think as you start doing POTA, you start thinking of better ways to do it or things that might be simpler. I think the number one thing to keep in mind though is when you are planning on going out and you're building a POTA, if you want to call it a kit or your POTA gear, is to stay organized and keep it simple. You don't want to bring stuff you don't really need because it adds more weight, but you also don't want to be stuck out there in the field and not have what you need. So stay organized, keep it simple, and play around with it. You know, like I said, I'm working on now my third bag because I started with what Eric had, the Oakley bag, and quickly grew out of that. Loved the bag, but grew out of it very quickly as I added more stuff that I figured I would need. So I went to the sling bag, and now I'm one more step up to get the antenna in there. And then once I get everything in that bag, that'll be perfect, at least for now. But that's what we say.
For this season, right? How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, and, you know, for mine, it's I'm still in the conceptual stage. And I think Todd hit the nail on the head with, you know, you got to practice, practice, practice. And I think once I start using it a few more times and get some park activations here, I'll tweak it and, you know, refine how the setup is configured.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I would throw into both that mix is it's okay to want to mirror or copy yourself from other people. The best thing is you can do is learn from, what's the phrase, learn from flattery or whatever the phrase is. But I can say that, you know, you could sit there and do analysis paralysis of what you want to do for setups and how you want to get this built and buy all of the equipment. But if you never, like we all agree, get out and start putting it to use, you'll never really know what it's going to, you know, pan out to be. Is it going to work for you? Is it not going to work for you? Is it too difficult to set up? Are you spending an hour and a half to set up an entire, you know, activation before you even get to activate? Or is it take 10 or 15 minutes to do, you know, that those are kind of things you got to think of too. But I think all of us have all learned that in some form or fashion, when we get out and activate, that's where you're, you know, you learn a lot more than you would if you just did research only and only kind of, you know, read the reviews and figured out what antenna you wanted to go with.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, just get out there. That's number one important. Get out there, activate a park, give yourself time. once you get activated in a park and you start feeling comfortable with your equipment, then you can start, you know, getting faster and moving around as much. I mean, you could try to do, like, if I'm on a, when I'm on a trip, if I see two parks I want to activate and I only have a certain amount of time, I'm kind of getting through it quickly. But it's also sometimes nice just to sit at a park for a long period of time and just get a lot of contacts. You know, it can be fun. I mean, I've had some where I've been nervous about getting 10 to activate the park, and then others where I think my last one in Mississippi, I think it was 156 contacts in 2 hours and 120 minutes. Nice. That was a lot. They were coming in pretty strong. So I mean, just get out there and do it and have fun. And if you don't activate the park or you have a problem, you know, it's a learning experience. And plus you're out there and you're attempting and playing radio. And I think that's all that matters.
Cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, so then I think we have a lot more here. We're only kind of just scratching the surface of stuff. And I think we'll probably be talking a lot more about this and fleshing out a few ideas, because I think some of the process of field testing is definitely a good thing to dive into a little bit, and what that kind of looks like for both yourself and what we've experienced. And then I think we should definitely talk about some of our failures. I mean, some of the stuff we've run into, the park rangers, you know, how do you deal with the new park ranger who thinks he knows everything and you know, has, you know, that you have to get the special use permit and get that all squared away. And those that, you know, the park rangers that just, they know ham radio operators. So, you know, we should share those stories and dive into that a little bit more. But the last thing I kind of want to touch on, here's the big deal. When you go first activate, what's your take on it? Is it QRP or 100 watts?
Good question.
100 watts.
Yeah. Why?
Just because I want to make the contacts. You know, I work. So as an activator, you'll hear like the park to park, you know, those guys always get, you know, because you want the park to parks. But if I hear a QRP station in there, I always jump to them, even if they're weaker, just because I know they're working harder than I might be to make that contact. So I think if a Yaesu comes out with like the 705 version of a Yaesu radio and it's a QRP, I might have to dive into that. So Yaesu, if you're listening, you know, you want to sell another radio, go make a Yaesu version of the 705. And I might be tempted to buy one and start doing some QRP.
Take my money. That's where I look at it. So what about you, Ryan?
The 100 watts. I like the 7300, and you know, it just offers wonderful radio. So
yeah, I'm both camps. I mean, obviously, I don't think as a first timer, and basically the sentiment to hear is that 100 watts is the best way to go. It's not a bad thing. It shouldn't be looked at as in like you're anything less, because in essence, you want to get out there and enjoy the experience, because that's what's going to bite you in the butt, and that's going to make you, you know, stay in it and want to keep going. And with 100 watts, dude, when the bands are crappy, 100 watts is way better than running at 5 watts. You know, you're screaming in the microphone trying to get one contact, you know, whereas like if I'm running 100 watts, I'm barely getting 8 contacts, you know. It's kind of one of those things. So yeah, I think start there, get a radio that does at least 100 watts if you can. And if you can't, then try to get as many, either get a radio that can do at least 20 watts. So at least you have a fighting chance to get going and then go from there. So yeah, that quick parting, you know, experience from here as well. So any last kind of comments you guys want to share before we kind of wrap things up here?
That was a good conversation. Looking forward to continuing it.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And, like if you've never done POTA, give it a shot. I love it. It's my favorite part of ham radio, and I'm glad it's building a lot of I'm glad it's getting larger and more and more people are doing it, because it is a lot of fun, and it really gives you the experience of being almost like a contester without being a contester when you get those pileups,
right?
And that's where I have my fun.
Very cool. Yeah. So I agree with 100%. You know, just get out and activate. Find people that, you know, in your local area that do it, and just partner up with them, figure out how you can get out there and start playing radio, because, you know, long gone are the days of just being down in your shack and playing radio from there. Get out and enjoy the wilderness, enjoy Mother Nature and, you know, company of others that, you know, love the hobby as much as you will eventually grow into. So, All right. Well, with that, let's kind of wrap things up here. So as always, thank you for being part of Live Free and Ham podcast. And we truly value your support. We always love to hear about your, you know, ham radio journey. If anything, you know, in this episode, you know, posed a question or whatnot, please feel free to share it in the comments on our website. Post a review as always. And as final, you know, how can we connect with here? Obviously with our, you know, with us as a Live Free and Ham podcast, you can always go to livefreeandham.com, follow us on Instagram at Live Free and Ham podcast. So Ryan, how could they reach out to you if they want to reach out to you?
The best way is email. It's ryan@w1snh.com.
All right. And Todd?
Email is w1stj.nh.com. Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. And, well, oh, sorry, you cut
I
you
messed
off.
That whole thing up. w1stj.nh@gmail.com.
There you go. Nice job. All right. And as always, you can always find me on N1JUR. And as the same as the other guys too, as well, you can go to their websites by their call signs. And you can get me on N1JUR at n1jur.nh@gmail.com. So as always, thank you again for listening to our podcast. We appreciate all the love and, you know, continue to ham on. With that, say 7-3s.
7-3.
7-3.